This is where we hold them! This is where we fight!
Now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.
Rob, what's good, homie?
Mike, man, this is the beginning of your favorite week in bowling.
Best week in bowling. Let's go. World Series week.
I notice how I say your favorite or favorite week of bowling. Because I don't think it's the best week in bowling, but we could argue about this till the cows come home.
Well, my, you know, I said a couple episodes ago on our Masters wrap-up show that the Masters might be my new favorite week in bowling, with betting being available and all the matches you had to bet on. But have no fear, betting is back in big form this week, because every other night we're going to have a double, I think, best of five. Is it? I think it's best of five in this one, not best of seven. But every other night, we're going to have a best of five for three nights in a row. For, yeah, well, it'll be six nights, but over six nights, we'll have three opportunities for match play betting, best of five match play betting. So get your bankroll ready. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, there's a lot going on this week. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot to try to take bets on or keep betting. It's a lot, honestly. So
what's your strategy going into the week? Because I already know mine. I already have my strategy. My strategy is focus on the match play.
Match play for sure. But, like, focus on who to bet is kind of – where my focus is going to be, how the lanes, I won't say playing, but who's bowling good, like, obviously, but I might not bet the first day. I might just get a feel for what's going on there, since you have a whole bunch of days, and then see who's hitting them. Look at a lot of history previous of who's bowled good in that bowling center. And I could already probably name a few off the top of my head.
I'm off the futures though.
What's that?
I'm off the futures.
I mean, if you're going to bet futures, you know, I've talked about this so many times. You're going to bet the same five people or four people on futures. But, you know, shit, like, it's going to be a lot going on. So strategy is wait the first tournament out, see what happens there, and then maybe make some bets based on the first day. I know there are different patterns, Mike. I've just realized that a lot of times it's more of how the bowling alley plays than it is really what patterns they put out.
So when you say sit the first tournament out, you're saying all of Cheetah, no all betting Cheetah. For you. No betting.
No, probably not. Probably not.
Okay. My strategy is going to be try and catch as much as the qualifying as I can of each tournament, and yeah, get as much info as I can for the match play. That following night.
Yo, Dion wants to know why you're not at WrestleMania. Let me tell you something. Mike probably doesn't even know WrestleMania is going on right now.
Yes, I do. I know. Oh, it's all over my social media feed.
Yeah. I know. So tough night to go on, because look, Mike always rolls his eyes at wrestling, but WrestleMania is obviously one of the biggest watch events all year. Really. I watched some of it last night. So I plan to watch some of it later, but Mike couldn't probably be a professional wrestler. As for, like, what his name would be, I don't know. Like, that would be a up for debate.
No interest, bro. No interest in fake, what is adult fake theater. It's fake adult theater. No interest. I'm out.
Which has millions of more views than real sport.
I know, which is unbelievable. It really is. I mean, it's the fact that it's so popular, even though it's fake, just blows my mind. It really does. It's like there's basically a lot of people out there that enjoy adult theater based around
You know, my argument
confrontation.
My argument would be is TV shows are mostly fake. Movies are all fake, and people still go and watch that, right? So this is live stunt show is essentially what it is with scripted entertainment value. And what the wrestling does so good that the PBA doesn't do is they get their people invested in the wrestlers and their personalities. The you know, people love their own wrestlers, man. They get behind them. You know, their team Roman Reigns, their team head of the table or fam bloodline or whatever is going on right now. And people love it, man. They fight each other over it. It's crazy, man. You know, one day, you know, I might be team Simo and you might be team Tackett, and maybe we'll fight somewhere in the crowd. But until that happens, you know, I don't see it. But
Dion, please don't get him started. Okay. Don't get him started. We don't need this. Are you watching WrestleMania, Rob?
I watched a little bit last night. I watched the last two matches. It was actually real. The last match was really good. It really was good.
And how about tonight?
The Rock was wrestling last night. Came back, FYI. So okay. Tonight is going to be pretty good. As soon as we finish this show, I'll probably watch it while I'm like making dinner, whatever. But Sarah, I've talked about this so many times. How Bowling needs to take marketing car from a WWE, which is crazy because they're both on Fox. They tried to do some little cross promotion last year, which I don't even know where that went. Flopped, I would imagine, because you do anything with bowling, it usually flops. But I agree, though. I think, look, I know I get a lot of heat for this take, and since it's WrestleMania night, I'll talk a little bit about it. The PBA and a lot of sports, not just the PBA, but a lot of sports can take some play-by-play about how Vince McMahon turned what was a dying product in the 80s into a billion-dollar conglomerate. I mean, really, that's what he did. And I think a lot of people can take what he's done. I mean, I don't, you know, agree with some of the stuff he does, but any sport where you can get your fans invested in the player themselves is a sport where more people are going to watch. And that's just the bottom line. Like, that's how it goes. If you love a NASCAR driver, if you love a golfer, if you love a baseball player, whatever it is, you get behind them and you watch, you spend money, you buy apparel, you go to the shows, you know, you record it or you tape it or, you know, tape it. I mean, you know what I mean? You DVR it, whatever. And it's just, yeah, it brings in money and it brings in visibility. And the PBA needs to obviously 100% do a better job of marketing their players. You know, they have so much TV time FS1 gives them. Mike, even crazy to say, they might have too much TV time where they're trying to fill TV, where they, I think they could be using some of that and maybe making some more behind the scene type, I don't know, some kind of entertainment to get the fans more invested in the actual players than just the bowling itself.
You want some 80s style, early 90s style promo videos before the matches, huh? You want Packy Hanrahan pacing around in the back?
No.
Yeah, brother. I'm ready to go out and bowl, brother. I'm ready to take them down today.
No.
I'm doing it for the lefty two-handers, Hoss.
No.
Do you feel me? I mean, this
is no, I don't want ridiculous. Fake promos. I don't want fabricated shit, okay? I want real, like, enthusiasm behind the players. And the only way they're going to do that is by getting people to get to know them on a personal level.
You know, you do that with the PBA, you're going to get, well, I'm going to go out today. I'm going to throw some urethane to keep it safe. And, you know, the 73U urethane, it's going to really look good in the mid lane. And, you know, I'm just going to keep it safe and make my spares. And yeah, I'm going to bowl a good game. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to make the best shots I can. You know, just see how it plays out, you know, and then. Well, Mike, what's your strategy going into this game? Because
Randy, you know, my strategy is to go out there and rip his head off. Randy, I'm going to rip his head off, Hoss.
I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna throw some strikes and dig it.
It's just too much. It's too much, you know. Oh my god. All right. So let's get back on topic here. Dion, you're taking us off the rails here, Hoss, please. League review.
Let me tell you something about my league review, brother. Big Mike walked in his 24-inch pythons, brother.
I honestly forget how I bowled. I know that I used, it was a long pattern. It was Hardwick, 4 to 44 feet. I used a new ball that I had drilled up recently, which is the Black Widow 3.0. I felt like I had perhaps the best look out of anybody bowling, and I executed pretty well, but yeah, there were just a few shots here and there each game, probably 2-3 shots each game, where I just didn't throw it really well. I don't think I bowled terribly. I think I shot about 560 for three, so not horrible, but not great. Definitely didn't win any pots, didn't really sniff anything all night. Had a chance at one card game, but didn't work out. Throwing it good. It's just fine tuning. You know, it's just some fine tuning here and there. You know, just being able to more consistently make that good shot. I've said this a few times, and okay. I don't know what's behind this. I don't know why this is the case, or I don't even know if people will agree with me. But I feel it myself, and I see it when I watch bowling a lot at any level. And I currently feel like you have to hold on to the ball and loft it and hit up on it. I mean, that's what I feel like. Like my game has always been a smoother ball down earlier. Not a lot of loft on my release, not a lot of hitting up on the ball. And I'm just convinced that you have to do that now to get the ball to look the right way on most of these patterns. And when I say look the right way, what I really mean is actually stand up in the back part of the lane and hit with some real authority. And
You know what, though? I think you're wrong in saying that it's about the pattern. I think it's about the bowling center you bowl in.
Yeah, but can I make a point? Like, when I watch bowling today, I see this to be true in a lot of cases. Like, I watched Petey Vergos in the doubles this week. Okay, I watched him bowl a little bit here. I mean, if you watch this guy bowl, like, the more he hits up on it, the more he lofts it down the lane, the more he tosses it, the better it looks, you know. And again, I don't feel like you have to be that extreme with it, but I definitely and you know what? I'll even point to Dombrowski in the Masters, right? And like, he has a very soft hand, you know, very early down on the lane. And look what happened. Look what happened as his look went on, right? The lane got tighter and tighter. And, you know, ball struggled to hook in the back part of the lane. I mean, I guess he could have switched balls and done something about it.
Henry says DJ Archer is the future.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not going to go that far, but
yeah, real excited about the releases.
I think that there's a lot of, there's a lot of guys you could look at and, you know, you ask like, and I don't even know how to phrase it really, but like, do they have a soft hand? Do they have a hard hand? Do they hit up on it? Do they hit it into the lane? And I think there's way more people hitting up on it, hitting it onto the lane as opposed to laying it down, you know, soft hand style, however you want to phrase it.
Casey puts in the chat, lofting isn't really the answer to that from my experience. You can get your ball to be clean through the heads without having to loft.
I don't even know if it's an issue of clean through the heads. I think, to me, it looks more like an issue of getting the ball to stand up and roll properly at the end of the lane so that it actually hits with some authority, as opposed to relying on lighter hits and messenger 10s and,
I mean, you know,
trip buckets and rolled twos. And
I think, you know, if it's I think it's just a matter of using it when you need it. I think, though, lofting is essential as a pro, a national touring pro at least, to have that in your tip of like tricks, okay?
No question. Because
you can't loft it like that if you're playing right of 10 on a fresh, right? I'd rather be what you're like, smooth and clean on the fresh. But obviously, as you go like to games like 4 to 8, depending on where you're bowling, how many people are on a pair, especially if you're bowling, it seems like nowadays a USBC major, like a Masters or a US Open, you better show up knowing how to loft it and loft it very accurately, loft it, like not just like pitch it out like crazy. You have to actually, there is a skill involved in lofting, right? I mean, only a really few bowlers can do it really good.
And I'll be honest, I wouldn't even describe what I'm talking about, Rob, as extreme as lofting. If you'd laugh at me if I took a video of myself where I say, oh, I really hit up on that one, I really got it out on the lane, you'd be like, you're hardly lofting it at all. Like, that's not loft. And right. I get
compared
that
compared to what you normally throw.
Exactly. So right. I'm talking more about just, I can't describe it other than hitting up on it. When I was taught to bowl, I was never taught to hit up on it. I was taught to be smooth and be soft with it at the bottom and lay it down and get your thumb out of it and rotate your fingers around it. Now I feel like you want your thumb in it past the foot. Well past the foot, it feels like to me. And you don't want that thumb to come out until the ball is almost coming on the upswing. And now when it's coming on the upswing, now I can hit it, and now I can hit it on the upswing, and it's going to do the right thing in the back part of the lane. And I just never, bowling years ago and learning how to bowl, that was not something that was encouraged when I was learning how to bowl.
I do feel like two-handers have an advantage in that field when it comes to loft.
No doubt. I don't know if there's a two-hander out there that really lays it down early.
Kyle Troop.
Even he has a little bit at the line, right? Where he gets the ball out on the lane. I mean, I'm talking Dombrowski, Nathan Boer, Thomas Larson.
I don't think you could find a two-hander that puts it down that
you
early.
You understand what I'm saying? Like all three of those guys that I mentioned, I would say have real soft hand, real soft at the line, right? And, I just think that is a dying style in the game. I think unless you are just acing it at the majority of the time, you're much better off trying to hit up on it a little bit and, get it out on the lane, get it started a little bit, I feel like.
Justin in the chat writes, do you guys like the USBC patterns more than the PBA? Seems like more variety of styles do well at a tournament like the Masters. I mean, the lefties might argue with you about the Masters pattern. I do think that Nick Hoagland, who's the one who does the patterns to the USBC, I've known Nick. Nick actually bowled college same time I bowled for college. I believe he bowled for Indiana. And he's a very smart, actually pretty good bowler too from back in the day. So he's not just somebody who doesn't know bowling who's putting out these lane patterns. I think he likes pain. He's one of those type of bowlers and person who puts the patterns out who likes the bowlers to experience a little bit of pain. You could just tell, right? The Masters patterns have been getting harder. I think from previous and U.S. Open patterns. Obviously, are the U.S. Open patterns, and the U.S. Open patterns weren't always like that, Mike. I bowled the U.S. Open back in like 98 when they were in Connecticut, and they were actually pretty high scoring. My brother bowled 300 during qualifying, and I remember bowling that, and I was like, oh, they weren't really that hard. And then all of a sudden, I think it was the first year they went to Carolier, Mike, is when they started putting out those nasty flat patterns. But for me, I think the USBC, yes, they put out 10 more challenging, lower scoring patterns than the PBA. I just think that's always kind of been how it's been, at least in my opinion, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it also has to do with the fact that the USBC only runs two you know, two quote unquote professional events a year, right? Whereas the PBA is running stuff all the time, so they're going to need a bigger bank of stuff to draw from, right? But I don't know, just to kind of go in a little bit of a different direction with that issue. While what Rob said is true, and I fully agree with it, I will add on that I think the PBA needs adjustment. You know, I think the PBA needs adjustment to patterns. I think the PBA needs a larger bank. I would like to see more creativity in what the PBA puts out there. You know, I would like to see them put more research behind developing patterns that are going to challenge the players in ways that perhaps we haven't seen or we aren't accustomed to, you know? So
Fred in the chat says PWBA patterns are mostly more difficult than the PBA. I that's a tough comparison because the women are a completely different style of bowler than the men are. The men are completely overpowering with rev rate and speed and two-handers. And women obviously aren't there yet. I think that tough to say if they put out those PWBA patterns out for the PBA that the PBA guys wouldn't crush them. You know, it's a whole different style of bowler.
So yeah, okay. What do you want to talk about first here, Rob? What do you want to get into?
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
It's World Series of Bowling Week.
Right, it is. So, we can talk about the elite shows a little bit because those have been on. If you want to get into that for a few minutes.
Okay. Disaster of a product, I think.
Tough.
Thus far. The shows, they're becoming somewhat comical to me. I thought
there Let was me ask lot. You.
I watched both of them over the weekend. I watched both today. You know, we got a bunch of players sitting in the crowd. You got Simonelli sitting in the crowd who got cut from one of the teams. And you got Boog Kroll sitting in the crowd who won a title and didn't get picked up by anybody. I mean, what is going on here? I don't know. It's really strange to me. I think that the fact that so few teams drop somebody to pick up some of the bowlers who have bowled well throughout the season, I'm not going to say I completely lost interest at that point, but it definitely turned me off from it a little bit.
We could talk about all the draft picks and the players not being picked and all of this. To be honest with you, I wasn't really watching or paying attention to that, right, Mike? I was looking to see if this was an entertaining product in general, right? I turned it on. The shows are earlier for me because I'm 3 hours behind the East Coast time right now. I wasn't invested anyway in the shows, and I talked about it last week how I haven't really been following along. So I wanted to watch just to see what was happening. It's flat. The show is flat. I don't think they have an identity right now. I think they're trying to find the identity of these shows. I think they were trying to force a Portland, Maine type atmosphere like during these shows.
That's the identity.
It is, right. But it's not in Portland. So you're forcing an identity on a show that isn't like in Portland. So I'm like, they're trying to like get the crowd pumped up and then all of a sudden they would do this. Oh yeah, let's go. And then all of a sudden it would go quiet. Right. It was just like it people yelling and it's quiet. And I just didn't know what they were trying to do. It kind of was cringe for a little bit, I think, at certain times. It didn't help that the lanes were completely, like, I don't know what they did with the lane conditions, but they had pros missing head pins, and, you know, it was tough finding strikes. Not a big deal because, you know, that's what it is, right? I don't know if the sprinkler going off a few days earlier had any, like, residual effects on the lane conditions. It could have been. But as the show being entertaining, I didn't get it. I don't think they even maybe talked. They might have, but I don't even know what they were bowling for. Like, I didn't even understand. Like,
well, that's part of it. I think it's been somewhat hard to follow the standings and who's bowling for what, right? And why these particular matches are significant. Now, there were a couple matches over the weekend, like Bills teams match, where it was clear that if they lost, they were out of playoff contention. But only two teams don't make the playoffs, so you're not going to get those type of matchups very often, right? Those are only going to happen a couple times throughout the competition. I don't know. I just think that it's kind of disjointed. It's somewhat disjointed is the word I would use. Like, it hasn't all. I like the fact that they've done different league stuff at a lot of the stops, but at the same time, you know, with there being some competition off TV, some competition on TV, with the standings somewhat tough to follow, you know, definitely to me makes the product, you know, like I said, hard to follow and a little bit disjointed. Now, with that said, I still think they have a really good product here. You know, it sounds like you are over this team bowling concept, period. I'm really not. I think they still – go ahead.
I need to see some major changes. I need them to get me invested. They need to get me as a fan invested in the team. Like, and maybe I don't know how to do it, Mike. I'm not an expert in this. But they need to do something different.
Somebody, I forget who it was. So if it's somebody who listened to this podcast, I apologize that I forgot who said this to me throughout the week. But somebody made this suggestion. They said the thing they don't like about the league is that you're coming on, you're watching this league bowling, and you're only seeing the best players, the most popular players, the top players on each team throw a few shots, right? This person actually suggested radically changing the format where you would have like a singles match, a doubles match, and a trios match for each team. So the singles match would feature, you know, the two top players or two biggest names bowling against each other in some sort of format. And then the next match would be doubles, right? Two guys from each team. And then the next match would be three people from each team, right? Trios. And yeah, actually that's what the person was actually brought it up as, UBA type style. Now, Fred, if I'm wrong, correct me please in the chat, but doesn't UBA bowl 3-3-3 and it's a scratch handicap thing for matches? I don't ever remember the UBA being singles, doubles, triples. I mean, again, I could be wrong, but I don't know. What do you think, Rob? You think
anything would be better than what it is now. I would be open to seeing what that would look like. If the singles and doubles matches were going on, I would want the teams though behind them watching, I think, to bring a level of hypeness. Okay. I might be more interesting to see the reactions. I'm using this example. Let's just say Andrew Anderson's bowling. I like to see AJ Johnson behind him. Right. Like really giving it to the other team because he's not bowling, but he can get a little bit more into the shots and, you know, get, I don't know. I think it would be something different now. Yeah. I'd be open to see what it would look like.
Yeah. And I mean, we've talked a lot about other changes that we'd like to see, you know, like getting rid of the cities and, you know,
but if the shows look like the way they look now, I don't think any of that's really going to matter. They really need to put on some kind. They have to get an entertaining product together. I think we might start seeing a little bit better shows when they get to Portland for the.
Well, the main, you'll see better shows when they get to Portland, no doubt. But the main factor, Rob, is money, right?
No, I mean, we got a legend in the chat, Phil Placco, it's the GOAT right there. What's up, boys? Check out how Live Golf does their team play. The numbers come together by their individual play. Very interesting how Live is doing their events. It's a fair point, Mike. What do you think about that? Is that something similar to what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of that format, to be honest, Phil.
But that would be what the singles, doubles, and trios would be, no?
No. I think what Phil is saying is that they would bowl a regular event, and wherever they finished, you know, individually – would then assign team points for their team, and that would determine who the winning team is for that week.
What about something like the Ryder Cup, Mike?
Do you have enough? I mean, I feel like we had that, right? With the Weber Cup, you know, and that went away.
Yeah, I you know, there is a room. Look, there's room for team bowling in the PBA. There is, like you said, the whole, you know, obviously idea of it is great. I think people could relate to team bowling. A lot of people bowl league. I think, and maybe my opinion, yes, I you can't put five, you can't put a, them all 10 bowling one solo game on TV, right? It'll probably take way too long.
Right.
But yeah, like I could see something like doubles, triples matches. I don't know. I think we could table this for a whole another show and discussion, but
question, just to end this discussion. If they put 100,000 a man up for first and they put some serious points behind it where guys might have a chance to earn exemption for the following season by finishing really high in the team league, that in and of itself, I think you'd see it taken to a whole new level just with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I could agree on that 100%. Yeah, make it the main focus of a tournament and not just like a sideshow of the main of like the individual tournaments. Right.
I'm okay with the sideshow if there's something that's really at stake.
Yeah, here's the thing is, Mike, being at the Masters, and I could say this, being at the Masters, the players aren't really emotionally invested in it. It's almost like they feel like they're being forced in a way to be there. Just from my sense.
I understand.
Nobody told that to me. That wasn't verbally said to me, but just from, you know, asking the players, oh, hey, what do you got? You know, what are you doing? What are you doing for the next few days? Oh, I got to be around here. It's just like, but that the way the players' attitudes toward it, it also could carry over to the show a little bit too.
I mean, when you watch it, even on Bowl TV, when you watch it, it's absolutely like the most relaxed and quickest pace that you will ever see at one of these events.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, I think that if you made it for something serious, you would immediately see a change. I mean, I'm okay with it being a side piece of a lot of the events. I have no problem with that. But if they were bowling for 100,000 a man, and some of these guys, it was like, shit, man, I need to win this because I need the money, and that could make my season, and that could make my next season as well. Like,
so here's the other thing: take your other advice for the league. Put that in. Also, let them keep their five on the teams if they want to keep all five on their teams. Yeah. Let them keep their fives, and then keep giving them the option to drop and bring in new players.
And if you know what,
Mike. If you have if you have 100,000 a man and an exemption and a title and all that on the line, you might be a lot quicker to drop players and pick up new players.
And you know what? Not only that, Rob, but if some team wants to keep their boy because it's their boy, at least they're bowling to try and get their boy something real.
But here's the thing is, if I'm on a team, let's just say me and you are teammates. And you want to keep your boy on the team because he's your boy, he's your brother, he's whatever it is, right? And your boy stinks and he hasn't been performing on TV. I'm going to go to you and say, Mike, I got an exemption and 100,000 on the line. Tell your boy to kick rocks. I got to pick up Booger Kroll because he's 7 or 6 in points, 8 in points. Bottom line, I'm trying to win. Right now it's like, oh, whatever. You want your boy? Cool. Whatever.
Let's going to ask you, and we'll wrap up with this. I was going to ask you. That's not where I meant to go with my last point. But based on what you had just previously said about the attitude towards this event, do you think that there's guys out there who don't really want to make it and don't really want to go to Maine?
I think maybe some of the seasoned pros who have been on tour for years.
It wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if you gave them a truth pill and they were like, September.
All the way fly to Maine.
Off season.
I gotta got leave other the family. Stuff
going on. Gotta, yeah. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So, like, again, if they're really bowling for something significant, I think that that changes drastically. You know, like
if there's $100,000 on the line, the wife is gonna say, get your ass on that plane,
get on there. Yeah, for some of these guys, Rob, like the team event could become the only way that they're going to get a shot at that sort of title or that sort of benefit with a title. And I think if they put something on the line like that, then yeah, you would see an immediate change and you would see some real fire out there, real interest in it, real reaction to what's actually going on. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We'll obviously talk more about this, but for now, the shows are falling flat. There isn't really a lot of investment on my point of view, in my opinion, and they need to really figure it out. I think though the shows will get better when they go to Maine though for the finals.
Sorry, I'll bring your brother's comment up here. Part of it is even if they win, they don't come home with any money that day, right? Payout is at the end of the season. But hear me out, Jeff. If they made it for something really significant, then you'd have guys working towards this huge payout throughout the whole season, where they got to bowl the whole season and bowl well the whole season to get to this big payout at the end, right? And I think that in and of itself even makes it more interesting. It's like, all right, who's going to get this big payout at the end? You know, we're narrowing it down now, you know, as we go along in terms of who's going to be there for that big payout at the end. But more to say on that as always, Rob. All right, let's talk World Series.
Yeah, already got one tournament.
Yeah, one tournament is done. They bowled the show for the doubles last night.
Yeah,
we do not have results for people. Okay,
so no, we can't. I mean, we would probably.
I don't have results.
Oh, I know the. I know. Okay. I just know, but obviously, I can't. We can't talk about it. But from what we do know, the stepladder was last night. The stepladder will be aired next Saturday night. Andrew Anderson Prather in the one seat, Bill O'Neill Belmonte 2 seat, Simo Barrett 3 seat, Jesper Kyle Troop 4th seat, and Hoopé Packy 5th seat,
who shot 290 their last game to make it, which was amazing. This was a really great match play.
Yeah, it was good.
I watched a lot of the match play here, particularly in the second block. And
I guess my question is, I don't want to go on a tangent here, but we go off the rails all the time. Why have a show like this, show of this when they could obviously show this live, this stepladder, and maybe think about doing something different? Like, not.
I don't know. They didn't. Well. Okay, because they had the PBA League show on today.
Yeah, I would have liked to see the live instead of the Elite show having 2 Elite shows this weekend. I'd have rather them put in the live doubles finals Sunday today and then have one of the Elite like on Bowl TV. You know what I mean?
Lumber Flexual saying that the PBA page webpage has the result.
I'm not going to say it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it anyway. People might not want to hear it.
But I'd rather see this tournament with this field, Mike, with these 10 players. I'd rather see this live on FS1 today at 12 than see the Elite League.
I agree with that. I think it would have been a better use of the 2 hours to see the doubles than to see another league session. Yeah, I like the doubles event. I think it's cool. You know, I think it's good. I think that the event they're doing later in the season, the PBA, PBA 50, PWBA event is really cool too. I like when they mix it up. As a kid, I used to like that PBA, PBA senior event. That was always a cool event to me to see those guys bowl together. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's a good way to kick off the week of the World Series, as opposed to going right into competition. You know, you let these guys warm up a little bit. You know, you get them something with that isn't as high stakes. You know, you got a doubles partner, etc. There were several storylines in this tournament that were interesting to me. You had the two guys from the two international guys who were leading going into the last block of match play. And, I mean, they ended up not making the show, which is just atrocious. But, Rob, do you know that by not making the show, if they would have made the show, they would have automatically qualified for – they would have been exempt, basically, for the rest of the season. So they wouldn't have had to bowl the PTQ for the World Series. They would have been automatically in, and they would have been automatically in for other events as well. So, like, maybe not other events. Definitely the World Series, though. I know that I read that. So, yeah, I mean, that watching it was like, oh my god, like really. Same thing with I believe the same was true with a couple other teams too. There were a couple other teams in this field that had made the cut that. If they would have made the show, you know, it was kind of going to change their status in terms of where they're at. So, yeah, it was really interesting. But as usual, what happens, you know, the sharks run them down. The cream rises to the top. Last block, and the lanes are changing. And your Belmos and Bills and your Bilmos, okay? Your Simos and your Barretts. I got a team name for them, the Bald and the Bold. Okay. The Bald and the Bold come at you. They come chasing you down. What, you got any team names, Rob? That's one thing this tournament makes me think of is what are some good doubles team names?
I do. I got a great name for Jesper and Kyle Troop. Team Swedish Fish.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Dude, they should get a sponsor too, Swedish Fish. I mean, that's perfect. I got a good one for God, this is gonna go off the rails quickly. I got a good name for Sterner Smallwood. I called him Team Sternwood.
You got Bilmo, you got Sternwood, you got the Bald and the Bold.
Swedish Fish. Hey, Mike. My goodness. You watched a lot of the Patch Pirate Ball Review videos. You've heard of clickbait, right? Now, instead of clickbait, you have dickbait. Okay?
Dick Allen and Zeke Bait.
Team Dickbait, you know?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. That's good. There's a few. I mean, you could just keep going down, but those are my favorite. Sternwood and Dickbait.
That's amazing. makes me think of doubles names though. But yeah. Listen, I thought it was a good event. I thought it was you know, good match play, interesting. You know, we'll see where the show goes. Like, how much will it count towards Bill's player of the year chances if they're able to get this done? And you know what I'm saying?
It doesn't hurt them.
I know, but it's not going to count the same way that a regular singles title would count. Am I right?
No, but it adds to his earnings. It adds to his points.
Add
right?
to his titles too.
And add to
but,
his
but
titles
again,
too.
You know, I think if somebody wins the doubles who's in contention for player of the year, you could see a situation where the person who wins the most titles, again, that person who wins a doubles title, doesn't win player of the year over somebody who might have one less title, right? But perhaps two majors versus three titles, and one of them's a doubles title and one of them's a major. You know, I could see a situation like that. So,
like I said, it doesn't hurt him. I mean, I don't think it really.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get it done.
Yeah.
You know, I think it would be it would be poetic justice in a way for Belmo to help Bill win and put him in the front seat of the player of the year discussion going forward based on that. Yeah. You know?
Well, I think Belmos kind of understands at this point that he probably doesn't have a chance to win player of the year unless he does something crazy miraculous the last half of the year. So I honestly think that Belmo
that could not be true at the end of the week.
Right. Well, I'm just saying, like, if Belmo does some miraculous shit, right, and starts winning titles left and right, and then decides he's going to win the Tournament of Champions and, you know, a lot of the players and the PBA play. I mean, there's so much bone left. But I do think that Belmo would like, as a friend of Bill, would like to see Bill win a Player of the Year. Like, and if he could help him, I don't think he would have a problem with it, honestly.
Okay.
And he gets a title, too, if he wins. I don't think he cares about any of the other shit. You know, he's trying to be the cemented goat, Mike. He's trying to put his flag in the ground that there's nobody better than him. And the really only way for him to do that is for him to try to catch Walter in titles, honestly.
I don't know. I think we've talked about this before. You know, I feel like the goalpost has moved and
it is for majors. It is. But people will always bring that up. People are always going to bring that up.
I'm sure that Belmo, values a regular title the same way he values a major title.
He doesn't.
And I know that nobody values it the same way, but I think there might be more of a discrepancy between how he values them versus how a majority of other players value them.
I agree, but people will always hang that over his head, Mike.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
That's fair. All right, so I already talked about my betting strategy for the week. You know, follow me on Twitter is going to be my advice at the 215. If you want to know what I'm doing, you know, feel free to tweet at me. You can email us too at sweeptherack@gmail.com. You know, better chance that we get back to you on social media than we do through email. But I already talked about my betting strategy for the week, Rob. The futures have become really hard unless you're picking the top four people, top five people that don't have that great of odds. The futures are really tough. I'm going to lay off the futures, whether it be futures for world championship, you know, which I think if you want to bet futures, take the top three or four in the world championship, right? Yeah. If I'm taking anybody, Rob, I'm taking EJ Tackett.
You did Tackett.
I'm taking EJ Tackett in the futures for the world championship because who would you pick to have a better shot at, you know, making that show over the course of that many games than EJ Tackett?
Yeah, him and Simo. It's him and Simo, like of the two bowlers that you have to bet if you're going to bet futures. And you're right, though. It's a good strategy. Wait for the longer formats, the lot of games. Total games, total whatever it is, right? Total pinfall, and then bet the best in the world because most of the time they're going to be the ones that are going to be, you know, if every tournament on the PBA Tour was total pinfall or 24 match play, 30 pin bonus stepladder, you would have to bet Simo Tackett on every tournament.
No, it's true. So I'm going to look to the match play. Because every other night, right, so there's qualifying. There's 10 games of qualifying on Cheetah tomorrow. And then Tuesday, in the early part of the day, there's 5 more games of qualifying. Then they make a cut to the top 16, and they're doing a bracket, 1 versus 16 and so on, best of 5, 2 rounds. We're in the second round, the highest losing seed is on the show anyway, okay, as the 5th seed. So I'm going to be looking at that first round of matches each day is really where I'm going to try and, you know, make my money, have that as my bread and butter. You know, I'm going to put together some parlays in those matches, you know, probably.
All you do bet parlays though. That's all you bet is parlays. You don't even bet one.
No, I bet some individual matches as well. Yeah. I bet some individual matches as well. And I definitely will have bets on multiple individual matches, you know. So that's going to be what I'm going to attack. And then going into next week, you have live shows at least 3 nights in a row. I think it's 4 out of 5 nights or 4 out of 6 nights there's going to be live shows. So, yeah, you're going to have the opportunity to bet all those as well. Right. Yeah. So it's right. Rob, you said it earlier in our little intro to what we were going to talk about. Like, there's so much to bet at this point. That's why I'm talking about this, because you almost have to pick and choose where you want to be. Right. I mean, unless your bankroll is unlimited, which I assume that's not the case for most people that are listening to this show. Shout to Dan Dunleavy. But if your bankroll is not unlimited, okay, the Billy Walters of the bowling game. If your bankroll is not unlimited, then you really got to pick and choose where you want to hit them and where you want to try and pick your spots. Yep. Right. So for me, that's going to be it. I'm going to be looking at that first round of match play, maybe second round of match play some nights, and then I'm going to lay off until the shows start next week, and I'll be looking to make some bets throughout the shows and try and make some money there as well. Do you have anything strategy-wise you want to offer to the people, or any bets you really like here? Any guys that you think have a really good look in this building traditionally? I mean, Bill has a really good look
always.
In this building traditionally.
Bill always makes a show in this building. He's made, I think, you could probably look at the history of it. I think one of his titles I remember was in this building in the arena. I remember watching that show. Oh man. I think you have to look at some of the people who live in that area always tend to bowl better. Guys like Andrew Anderson, Smallwood.
Justin Knowles from the area. Mm-hmm. Frank Snodgrass is from the area too, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's never a bad pick, right? Sometimes when you're home, you tend to step up your game a little bit because all your friends and family are there watching. Best 3 out of 5. I mean, the match play is a crapshoot. I think it's just looking at the matches and I don't know. I'm paying attention to the scores. I'm paying attention to who's bowling good. I paid attention to the PTQs. Even you could get a good idea of how the lanes are looking just based on the PTQs, right? So
anybody that stands out to you?
I mean, look, when it comes to betting bowling, there's no science around it. You got to bet the guys who are always there, right? EJ Tackett, Simo, Belmo, Bill, really. I mean, there's no strategy. That's the only strategy right now if you're betting. And then you just have to wait and see how the lanes are playing. Styles. What styles are bowling good? Is it the slow hook? Is it the lefties? Is it the people throwing urethane? Is it the two-handers? You have to look at the styles. You have to look at the who's bowling good. Are they people throwing it fast? Are they bowling good? Are the people who are throwing it slow, are they bowling good? And then you kind of pick your best bet based on like the majority of the styles on who's hitting them, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who, if we think about a pyramid type ranking,
okay,
right, of PBA players, and let's say we're talking three levels of a pyramid here.
Okay.
Okay. So you have your number one guy.
Okay.
You have two guys under him, and then three under them. Right. Is your next set. What? Let's talk about what each of our pyramids looks like. Going into this World Series. Now, I know that some people might say, oh, well, you know, just look at the points list, right? But what I'm trying to allow for here, what I'm trying to factor in here is right now at this moment, World Series qualifying starts tomorrow. Who are the top seven guys throwing the ball in the world, right? Like who's, you know, who is there somebody in that? Let's say you go by the top six on the point list, right? Is there somebody in that top six in the point list that isn't necessarily bowling like one of the top six in the world right now, or one of the top six that would be in that pyramid of players, right? So let's go by the point list, right?
Okay.
You got top three are Bill, EJ, and Kyle. Do you have them in that order? I have
Kyle above EJ.
So you have Kyle, you have Bill one.
I do.
Okay. I have EJ Tackett one.
No, look. Okay, we're gonna argue on this because I'm doing this based on the year that they're having. I'm doing this based on stats.
Based on right now.
No, stats. I'm doing this based on the stats. right? Okay. I'm not looking at points. I'm looking at average. I'm looking at titles. I'm looking at cashes, earnings, right? Looking at all of it. And right now, you can't tell me that Kyle Troop having two titles is you could put EJ above him.
He made five shows in a row.
Yeah, but he won twice.
He was literally a series of shots away from six shows in a row.
Almost winning is only good when you don't win. And I just made that quote up. Kyle has two titles and one's a major.
Bill just missed the cut at the Masters.
I know, but he's out. He's got everyone by earnings. He's got everybody by just like,
okay, but he won the first event of the year for $100,000. That was 2 months ago.
EJ doesn't have a title this year.
All right. Okay.
And he's got 75K in earnings.
It's a fair point.
I'm just saying, like, if I'm looking at who's, I'm going to put who above who right now, I'm putting Kyle above EJ. I almost put Kyle above Bill.
Despite all that, I mean, if I'm betting on somebody to make this world championship show this week, my money's going on EJ Tackett out of those three. So what does that say?
Hold on, wait. Did Sarah just drop a Rob Stone comment or a Randy Peterson comment in our chat? Almost is going good in horseshoes and hand grenades. I swear Randy Peterson has said that before. Yeah, I mean, look, we could fight. This is, by the way, really tough to do, okay? This is really tough to do because if you ask me who the best bowler in the world right now is, I'm probably going to say EJ, okay? I probably side with you. But
how do you not have him won?
Because I'm looking at based on their performance this year, right? EJ best in the world based on last year. And, I mean, how could you argue with that? But I'm not looking at last year. I'm looking at this year.
Bill's
had a better year than all of them.
I actually think your head might explode when I say this. I actually think that the fact that EJ hasn't won makes him more of an argument for number one on the pyramid, because if anybody's going to win at some point, it's him.
Oh,
things are going to go his way at some point. Yeah, he ain't gonna make eight shows in a season and get shut out. That's not likely to happen.
No, he'll get a title at the World Series. He'll get one. But I'm looking. Like I said, my basis on this pyramid was this year.
Okay. All right.
And this year, I got Kyle.
You'd have Bill, Kyle, EJ.
Yes.
As your top three, your first three levels. Bill, Kyle, EJ. All right. I would have EJ, Kyle, Bill.
Okay.
I would have EJ, Kyle, Bill. All right. Now, those next four spots. We're definitely putting Simonson in there. Yes.
100%.
We're definitely putting Belmonte in there. Yes.
100%. Yes.
Okay. 100%. Three spots. So we only have one spot left.
This is where the fights are going to happen.
There's one spot left. Now, if you're going by the statistics, it's Marshall Kent.
Correct.
Okay, if you're going by the statistics. But when I look at some of the guys underneath Marshall Kent, and I think about, all right, you know, who's coming on here? You know, who's coming on? Who's gonna go from having a good season thus far to having a great season in this World Series and forward? The guy I would give that last spot to in my pyramid would be Sam Cooley.
Okay, just because he's kind of got hot the last few tournaments.
He's hot. He's throwing it good. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, in this second half of the season, Sam Cooley turns it up another notch and, you know, gets a win, especially World Series-wise. You know, wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, there's a couple other names that are tempting to me as well there. But Cooley is the guy that I would say, just because of his recent hot streak, he's the guy that when I look at that list, I would say, yeah, I'd probably have to have him there.
I could see that. I like a few other players, to be honest with you, more than Cooley. I think we can't really look past what Zach Wilkins has been doing. Dude, Zach Wilkins is, to me, the breakout player of the year.
It's a good one.
Dude, he's, going through PTQs or was, right?
Wouldn't be surprised to see him win before the year's out either.
I think he's there. Watching him at the Masters, just in general, like, he's there. Like, he's just, gotta get on TV a little bit and make some and start winning. AJ Johnson's another one, right? Where he's kind of knocking. And then you can't really look past ever, in my opinion, Dom Barrett. I think Dom Barrett.
That's the name that I liked. That's Dom Barrett's name that I like.
To me, Dom Barrett is always going to be a top 10 bolt player in the world.
Solid.
Got kids on. He's a phenomenal player. So I think, look for him to have a one or two tournaments in the last half where he's going to make a show and maybe potentially put himself in for a win. So those would be my picks. And then, yeah, you have your people that are hanging around, right? You have your Vies and you have your Dohertys, you know, and you have your Smallwoods and, you know, Booger. I mean, like, Booger, you can't count him out. So it's, yeah, we'll see a lot of bowling left, Mike. Maybe the pyramid is going to look a lot different, I think, in the last three.
No doubt.
Not top four. The top four of the pyramid are always kind of cemented, I think, at this point. But the last
two. The order might change, but those four are going to be there, I think. Yeah. But, listen, it might look a lot different after the World Series.
Oh, yeah. So a lot can change.
A lot could change in this week. A lot could change in this week. That's one of the reasons why I say, you know, to me, this is dude, one of the better weeks in bowling, if not the best week.
Yeah, if a player like – I'm just using Belmo as an example, like we talked about him. Dude, if Belmo starts getting hot right now, we all know he could do some major damage in a 4 or 5 tournament span, right?
Right. He could go from
a title, a major. Like,
he could go from that third level of the pyramid right now to the top spot real fast. Right.
I mean, and I think any of them, and I think the pocket starts to look a lot bigger. I mean, we saw Bill got hot there at the beginning of the season for like the first 3, 4, 5 shows. The pocket, that 1-3 for them, starts looking bigger and bigger. It's like a hitter, a professional major league baseball hitter. When they start getting hot, like, the ball starts moving way slower. You know, everything breaks go their way. You know, with bowling is the same way. Like, when the iron gets hot, they got to strike. And when they start getting hot, they got to start winning. And that's what happens with a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Do you remember the World Series a few years ago where Belmo made like almost every show?
Yeah.
And ended up winning like 3 titles in a few days or something like that. I forget exactly how many it was. Like, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's the way EJ Tackett is at this World Series.
Yeah, Lumber. Like, Belmo was the only player in the PBA who could win 3 titles, and we'd all be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Now, see, I think Tackett, if Tackett came out of this week where he won 2 of the animal patterns and wins the World Championship, wouldn't surprise me at all. And the guy would go from having no titles and not being in the conversation of Player of the Year to being the leader for Player of the Year. And he's in the driver's seat for the second half of the season.
Yeah,
with the most shows made.
I think Bill, for to win Player of the Year this year, I think Bill needs to get at least one more title. At least one more title. And I think, you know, obviously the World Championship would probably cement it for him. But I think he's got to get one more title because people are going to look and say, well, who do you give the Player of the Year to? Someone like EJ, who maybe has 3 titles, or Bill, who's got 1 major. You know what I mean? So, like, there's
Troop would be the better conversation there, right?
Troop, too. You know what I mean, though? That's what I'm trying to say.
2 titles, 1 major, 1 regular. Bill has 1 title with more shows, right? But I agree with you. If Bill finds a way to get it done this week and he wins the World Championship, the conversation's kind of over.
Yeah, but he's got to get one more title because you got to figure Troop and Tackett are going to get a chance at 1 more, 2 more titles.
If Bill wins a regular title, a non-major title, I think that the conversation is still open, and I think it depends what – I think he doesn't shut the door. I'll say that.
Right.
I think that Troop, Tackett would still have a shot to take it from him.
And Steinmeier lurk.
Depending on how they bolt, lurking too. Right. But yeah, if he can find a way to get this one or get the tournament of champions, I think the conversation is pretty much over. So,
yeah.
All right, Rob, are we ready to give the people what they want?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm giving worst of the week this week to a big dog in the bowling community. I'm giving worst of the week to a big dog from the Evil Empire. Ooh. Evil Empire, be on notice. Okay, I'm giving worst of the week this week to Alex Hoskins. Alex Hoskins, Storm Ball Designer, I think is part of his job title, and I'm giving him worst of the week for a tweet I saw today, where he said the following. Okay, here you go. Tell me, some of you are going to disagree with me on this.
I like this tweet. I thought this was great.
This is terrible. This is a terrible take. Okay?
Read it.
Huge bowling pet peeve. Sitting in the same spot every time between frames, and someone sits there three quarters of the way through the game.
Completely agree with him.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Completely agree with him.
Worst of the week too, son.
For the
first time ever, I'm giving one of the hosts here worst of the week. It's surprise. It's Rob. Worst of the week, Rob. That's a terrible take, son. There's be no assigned seating in the bowling settee.
There isn't, but it's...
Oh, God. Here comes all the peer shads out of the woodwork to tell us how that's my seat. It has my name on it. Don't sit there.
If I'm sitting in that seat all game for the first eight frames and I'm in that seat, my rosin bags, everything, you know I'm in that seat. Everybody knows I'm in that seat on that pair. And then I get up to come back from my ninth frame and I look and there's some person sitting in my chair. No, that's bullshit. Dude, that is not worst of the week.
How? So, all right. So explain this to me. How am I supposed to understand that it's your spot and your chair?
Because I've been sitting there all game.
What if I don't even notice that you've been sitting there? You think I'm paying attention to where people are sitting during the game? I ain't paying attention to that.
Well, you should be.
That's ridiculous.
Best of the week.
That's ridiculous. Get over it. Get over it, son.
No, I agree, Alex. That shit happens to me.
Grab your rosin bag and go have a seat somewhere else, bro. This ain't assigned seating in the set.
Especially when I'm bowling good, okay? I get into a routine. Right, I'm bowling good. I'm feeling good. I'm sitting in them on my seat. Right, it's all routine. Right, so what happens is this random person is probably minus 400 walks over and then fucks up my routine. That's gonna piss me off. Hey,
if that's the case, you're mentally weak. Look at your brother. It's common courtesy. My stuff is there. My jacket's on the chair. My drink is there. That's a huge common courtesy.
No.
Jeff, that's ridiculous.
No, listen to me. This is different. Jeff's talking about league where you have your drinks and your sodas. No, I'm talking about when you're in the settee area, when you're in the chairs, when you're in when you're actually bowling in the settee area, not when you're bowling league and you're sitting behind and with all your teams around you. No, I'm talking like bowling a tournament. And I have been sitting in that chair for the whole game. And then you're going to go snake in and try to scoop up on my chair? Man, that is a pet peeve.
Listen, Kevin, if Lewis Napolis stole my seat, I have no problem with it. It ain't my seat. It can't be stolen. It doesn't belong to me.
Hey,
it's not reserved seating. When I get my ass up to go throw a shot, if somebody wants to sit in that seat, you go right ahead. You sit in that seat. Now, I've probably been crop dusting that seat while I'm sitting there. That's a different issue. So
dude,
you want to sit there, you go right ahead.
If I ever bowl with Mike and I cross with him, wherever he sits, he gets up, I'm going to sit in that seat.
Go right ahead. I'm going to do the same to you. And I'm going to fry you out with it. Mentally weak. You and your brother are going to be fried out by the end of the day.
Don't scoop my seat up.
I gave this worst of the week because last week I was guilty of this.
Oh, you did it?
I was this guy because there was one guy on my pair.
What table?
He had his own little personal fan with him. So, like, he was setting up his fan at a particular place to sit.
Yes.
And he was sitting there, and I didn't give a shit whether your fan's there or not, bro. If I wanted to sit in that seat, I was going to go back and sit in that seat. And I did it several times. And one time he even came up to me and, like, stood next to me, and I think he was sort of implying, like, oh, you're sitting next to my fan, but, bro, I don't care. Like, it's an open seat. Like, you want your fan, grab your fan, bro.
Common courtesy, right, Mike. Here,
grab your fan.
Common courtesy. Pay attention to where people are sitting because you don't want to scoop up on someone.
The chat's all over the place on this one.
No,
Jeff is saying, I'm that guy.
You are that guy.
I'm that guy.
I agree.
No, you're that guy. How about that? You're that guy.
Sarah's right. We need a Facebook poll. It's going on our Facebook.
And yeah, Jimmy's right. Get the fans out of here anyway, son. Get the fans out of here anyway, son.
Look, the truth of the matter is, and I'm being honest here, when it does happen, like, I don't say anything. I just move. I sit in another seat, right? And I grab my stuff. It's not a big deal. But he just said it as a pet peeve. Like, it is kind of, like, annoying.
You know,
but
I'm not going to say it. Up, though. You know, Mans is burned up by this.
I'm fine.
He's burned up by this.
I'm not frying out. I'm not yelling. Like, I'm moving my seat. It's not a big deal. But, man, I'm bowling good right now. Let me stay in my routine. Inconsiderate schmuck.
Get the hell out of here.
Dude, Mike is worst of the week for being an inconsiderate schmuck. I love that comment. I'm going to take a picture of that. Anyway, all right.
There's no assigned seats in the settee area. Jim knows.
If the rosin bag is there, you know that's my seat. That's hilarious.
I'll go a step further. You put your towel and rosin bag on the seat. I'll even move your towel and rosin bag to sit in the seat if I want to.
Yeah, you're just being an asshole. You're just at that point.
Oh, that's ridiculous. There's no – give me a T-shirt, son. No assigned seats in the settee area. Thank you.
I like it. Okay, so my worst of the week, Mike, you're going to die. I don't know if you saw this. I'm sorry I didn't get your name of who posted it on our Facebook group. But this is going to Rap Daddy D. Okay, I'm gonna play this rap video that was made talking about some of the greatest bowlers of all time. I'm gonna put it on. Ready? Rap Daddy D. Okay. What? So ready? I'm gonna play it. Let's go.
It was 50 years ago, Johnny Petraglia, Barry Escher, and Gus Lampoe were big stars on the PBA tour. They won many titles of that, I'm sure. They are legends of the game. They've been inducted into halls of fame. And you know what they do like is to roll a powerful strike.
Pause.
But I really...
Who's the third guy he talks about? Johnny Petraglia? Okay.
Barry Escher.
Barry Escher. Okay, all right. And who?
I think that's Gus Lampo.
Listen, I'm not. You lost me on that one, bro. You lost me on that reference.
It's 30 seconds left. By the way, show some respect for Grandmaster Daddy D.
This is quick. This is a freestyle.
They're also super at making spares. Now this should be no surprise. All of them are nice guys. They've earned many fans throughout the years and are deserving of our cheers.
Got the sound effect, Mike. Grandmaster Rap Daddy D, Mike. Know the name, show some respect. My guy, Rap Daddy D, stands on business, bro. He stands on business.
Okay.
That's my worst of the week.
This is comment of the day. Who's rapping this? Lil Wayne Webb? Oh, Kevin, that's so good.
Dude,
my goodness.
Rap Daddy D and the credits, the lyrics. He actually has lyrics. Like, dude, I could go to ChatGPT today and pull 100 times better rap lyrics for professional bowling. Shit, I might do it right now, and that might be my closing argument.
Do not ask me for this content because I'm not going down this road, I don't think, anyway. But I don't know if I ever did this with you in the car or not, but I used to be famous for for the people that would ride to JBT's with me, for being able to turn a song on the radio and change the lyrics to bowling-related lyrics. Something I used to do all the time driving around. You know, just randomly turn a song on the radio and start changing the lyrics to bowling-related lyrics, whether it was a rap song, pop song, whatever it may be. So, yeah, I have plenty of experience doing that. I don't know. Your brother says Gus Lampo won 2 titles in the 70s. All right. Okay, no doubt. Thank you. Thank you for explaining the reference there.
Yeah, I've heard of Gus Lampo. I've heard of Gus Lampo.
Okay. All right, Rob, final thoughts.
Step into the lanes where the pins await, where precision meets passion and talents innate. In the world of professional bowling, where champions rise with their eyes on the prize, reaching for the skies. From the slick lanes to the thundering ball, every roll, every spin, they give it their all. With finesse and technique.
Rob's giving us ChatGPT raps here. He's giving us ChatGPT lines.
Professional bowling where dreams take flight on the polished lanes under the neon lights.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, here's my closing segment or argument, whatever you want to call it. Mike, I saw a reel that I shared on our Instagram of one of the most hype dart competitions in Dublin, Ireland, where they literally were just, if you haven't seen this, you guys got to go and check it out on our Instagram and then watch the reel where they play a really famous, like really like well-known song. I forgot what it's called in Ireland.
Brightside.
Brightside. Yeah. By the Killers. Right.
Yeah.
And the dart player is just there and there's two of them and they're just practicing whatever. And the whole crowd, Mike, there must have been literally thousands of people at this event, right? You would imagine.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that many, but definitely like 5,000, right?
Dude,
no question.
It was hype, and they were singing they were singing "Bright Side" by the Killers, and dude, they were just it was the hypest thing you could. I got well, me
the,
like
the guy was hyping them up, like yeah, won, sing it, dude. Sing it, and then they started to sing it, and then whoever was playing the music cut the music off. And it was just the crowd singing it as the guys
awesome.
Finished
it was
up
awesome.
their warming up, you know.
And my note, yeah. my reel was PBA, take note. Because if you could turn darts into something that hype with thousands of people literally cheering, singing, yelling, then the PBA could do it and bowling can do it. And if the bowling needs to take this international – and start running, having shows in Ireland and having shows in England and taking more overseas to bring in a hyper product. Even if they did it once or twice a year, I would be all for it. I think that would be incredible.
Sweden, you ever see that Swedish league?
No.
You ever see how hype they get in that Swedish league?
No.
Yeah, well, YouTube that and check that out. And they, I will. I mean, they're singing songs. They're doing chants while the bowlers are bowling. I mean,
that's what bowling needs.
Very, very impressive. And listen, Rob, you take whatever you want. We're partners here, but you're stealing this take from me.
Okay.
Rob's stealing this take from me. I've been saying this for a year.
I've been saying it. I'm not stealing it from you, but me watching it again reinforced it. You know what I mean? Because we haven't talked about it for a while. But I could just see, like, Mike, like an arena set, like where they have two lanes. Down.
I described it. Yes. Go ahead. Keep going. Two lanes. Two lanes,
and
an announcer. I want an announcer. Okay.
Yeah.
I want it shot for shot. Okay. No
but
more
I think...
bowl one, bowl two, but no. We're shot for shot here. Okay. An
but I announcer, think you gotta have it somewhere where there's people like you gotta do it in Ireland.
No, you
Sweden.
Don't. You need to do it like in a US city that's gonna support bowling, you know, like a Detroit, like an Ohio. Like Jersey, like Bayside, right?
Yeah, but look, dude, like,
but you
I don't
gotta,
know.
If hold that's... on. Here's the key. The key is this. The key is allowing the crowd to be relaxed. That's the key. Like the reason that darts thing works is because the crowd's like, they're set back. They're yes, they're loud. They're vibrant. They're cheering. They're singing. They're making noise. But, like, the players are all the way up here on a platform shooting the darts. And the crowd's back there, and the lights are turned down. And, like, you can barely even see the crowd in the background, right? And that is what allows the crowd to bring that energy, because they don't feel like they have to sit there like statues the whole show. You know, if you brought those same that same crowd at a darts thing right up to the players, and you sat them all around the players like they do at bowling, they would feel like they have to be as you know, quiet and calm as bowling fans might. But you know, because they're set in the back and the lights are turned down, and they're drinking and they're discussing and they're having a good time.
I mean, I disagree with you. I disagree with you. I mean, if you look at even the PBA League shows this weekend, it was in Detroit. Detroit's such a be, you know, and I know for a fact Detroit's a big bowling city, but where were all the people? Where was all this passion and craziness? Like they were trying to like force these people to make some noise. Look, I just think the U.S. isn't, when it comes to like cheering and singing, like they're not on the same level as a lot of these international countries are, just because of, and I'm going to say the football, right? And international football. I mean, those crowds are hype, Mike, and they're singing, they're chanting. These guys are passionate. And I think that's what the PBA needs, even if it's just one or two, three tournaments a year where they go international and you give the crowd something like that in darts, but you make it bowling. And I think you might start seeing a different product on TV.
Okay. Now, what I envision is same thing you're talking about, just in America, and let's do it in a place where we can bet on it. Let's make sure that the crowd that's showing up can bet on it.
Yeah, but I you know, I don't know if what's the difference? What are they? Is darts like, why is darts so hype in Dublin compared to, you know, PBA League in Detroit?
Don't know. That's a good question. I mean, my first inclination is gambling.
You think these people are all yelling and cheering and singing in darts because they're all gambling?
Well, I think it's darts. Probably more than that, but I think that's probably a part of it. I think they probably have a connection to whoever that darts player is.
I don't know.
You know, I'm sure we're looking at it like, oh, it's just a random player, but I'm sure that the fans and the people watching it likely have some kind of connection to that player.
Yeah, I think there's fancies like it's hometown pride. She talks about the show being a good venue in Helsinki. I think the PBA could benefit from holding. All I'm saying is I think the PBA might be able to benefit from having some shows international. Look, I know it's a big ask. There's a lot
of
it's an interesting idea. All right, Mike, what's your
my final thought is just World Series, man. World Series, looking forward to it. Starts tomorrow. Can't wait. You know, really, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday days are going to be a little bit dull, in my opinion, just because it's only qualifying. But that Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, okay, can't wait.
Yeah, Patrick, I completely agree. Bowling fans have been trained to be quiet. It's just how it's always been.
That can change easily, though, Patrick. That's what I'm saying.
Let me leave you with a little chorus here. Professional bowling, where dreams take flight on the polished lanes under the neon lights. It's not just a game, it's a way of life. For these bowlers, it's worth every strife. From spares to strikes, they navigate the lanes. In the pursuit of excellence, they feel no disdain. Mike, I'm just
dropping. You got a ghostwriter, son. You got a ghostwriter. You got to write your own lyrics.
Yo, Grandmaster Big Daddy D don't got nothing on me. I'm going to literally start a YouTube channel and call it.
We're starting a bowling rap beef. I love it.
So here's to the professionals, the bowlers elite, where the passion for the game can never deplete. Mike, I could just spit bars after bar.
All right, Grandmaster. We're done.
Big Daddy Rob D.
See everybody.
All right, everybody. Take care. We'll see you guys.
Goodbye. Later.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.